and having fun.
If he's not ready, don't throw him out there. Wake the kids and phone the neighbors.
He's the suit and the voice of NASCAR in the Music City, Chase McCabe.
The most famous words in motorsports.
He's a three-time Emmy Award winner and Nashville's media darling, Big Joe Dubin.
Two words I hate more than anything else, mental reps.
This is the Chase and Big Joe Show. Presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Release the hounds.
Your sports live here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Appreciate everybody from MTSU joining us. We are excited and honored that they would take us to Wisconsin, to Madison. Really looking forward to that, so we wanted to give them a little extra love letting me on the trip. Joe's got to go anyway. They're stuck with him, but I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun, but there's still more football to discuss. John McClain will join us at the bottom of the hour. Chris Sanders at the top of the next hour, but we haven't had a chance to talk about the game last night. Cowboys cover 8.5. It was a good game. I wonder, you know, what the lightning delay did to both teams, because they both came out pretty flat, I thought, after that lightning delay. But other than that, I mean, it was an interesting game, but really started with the first play and Spitgate, I guess is what we're going to call it.
And some are defending or like why he should have been thrown out, should have been thrown a flag. And we'll ask John about that coming up in just a little bit. But
yeah, Jalen Carter.
Absolutely. Yeah. Should have been tossed out. Look, I remember Bill Romanowski, great linebacker. I remember him for one thing, because he spit on J.J. Stokes. And to a lesser degree, Haynesworth, when he stepped on Andre Girard's head. I mean, these are things you can't do beyond the game of football, and that's a non-football play. Absolutely. And I think he should be suspended for probably three more games. They won't, because they'll cave into it. But I think three more games suspension, perfect. What he did last night was just absolutely stupid.
I wonder if he's going to get a suspension. But here's the thing, and I know people are going to go, well, you're a Cowboys fan. I understand Dak spit first, but he spit on the ground. That's not a penalty.
No, guys spit all the time on the
spitting
ground.
Spitting on the ground, whether he was looking at Jalen Carter or not, is not a penalty. Spitting on a person, that is a penalty. And that got him thrown out of the game. So, you know, I heard the guys this morning talking about that on Next Man Up, you know, that it's the second guy that always gets caught. That's usually true. Dak didn't commit a penalty.
Nope, did not. I mean, not
so,
at all.
So he did. He just spit on the ground. Whether they were jawing or whatever, doesn't matter. There was no foul there.
No,
and they even said, Chris Collinsworth said that on the broadcast. He goes, one's a foul, one is not.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. And, you know, Jalen Carter's had a lot of problems off the field. Going back to Georgia, you know, he dropped a little bit in the first round. Look, he's a hell of a player. He's a disruptor.
Yeah.
Might be the best D-tackle in the game of football right now. But that's just uncalled for. And because of that, I was indifferent last night to the game. But because of that, I wanted the Cowboys to win by 30. If the guy who runs his mouth all the time and makes a lot of money could catch a pass in crunch time, CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys would have won. But, you know, he didn't. And that drives me crazy, because I don't think he cares. After the game, he's like, I got to catch those passes. Very nonchalant. I'd be furious. I'm just different.
Yeah.
I'm different.
But, you know, the Cowboys end up losing. The defending Super Bowl champions get their banner. They win the game. CeeDee Lamb couldn't catch a cold, even though the ball was hitting him right in the hands, which was very uncharacteristic for him. But Dallas, the one thing you could definitely tell, and I've seen all the memes and stuff of Jerry Jones, you know, the fake quotes of him saying, I thought we were just one playmaking defenseman away from winning that game.
He said that?
No, but.
Oh, I was about to say, no. I can't wait to ask John that. But the question is, had they had Micah Parsons.
They missed him.
I still don't think they win, because the fact they did not put a spy on Jalen Hurts in the first half blows my mind away. Blows my mind.
Here's the other thing. Explain to me that this is now 3+ years that we've seen of this. Why nobody can stop the tush push. And I'm going to say this. If the NFL does eventually ban it, it's because they're all a bunch of wussies.
Yeah, because nobody can stop it.
Right.
It's great. I mean, it's great. It's you shouldn't be allowed to push a player. We know that. And if you take that away, that play is successful maybe 50% of the time.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work anymore. It changes it.
You shouldn't be allowed to push a guy with the ball or carry a guy with the ball. It should not be allowed.
But, okay, that's fine. But to me now, you can't ban it. Because then the public and everybody, the only reason you're banning it is because nobody can stop it.
I mean, it's probably trying to think.
If you wanted to get rid of it, they should have had an effort to get rid of it.
Right.
You know, sooner than they did, and they didn't. What's funny is they talked about one of the Eagles' offensive linemen was kind of like, I hate running it because it takes so much out of you. But they realize how effective it is.
I'm thinking that's the most successful play in the history of football. I can't think of one that comes that close. It's always successful. A quarterback sneak, a lot of times the quarterback gets it, he steps to his right and goes, and they clog that hole. And then the quarterback started jumping over the top, and the linebacker would just submarine that way and go this way. You just get behind your center and push forward, and it's all the placement of the ball. So if you could slide the ball out there a little bit, and you know you're not trying to get 2 yards, but 11 inches, you get it done. They'll never ban it, and that's the way it is now. It's what's going to be.
One time we had Kelly Holcomb on, and we talked about quarterback sneaks and why more teams don't run it more, and he was like, man, I hate the quarterback sneak because that's how the quarterback gets hurt.
No, I would punch you nonstop.
Yeah.
I would punch you nonstop.
He said every time the coordinator called a quarterback sneak, he was like, why? Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, I just think it's going to be one of those things where it's going to stick around for a while, and then, you know, you eventually try to figure it out. But right now, nobody's been able to figure it out. And last night it worked to perfection. The colleges are doing it too. And it's funny because why wasn't this around 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago? Because it's so simple of a play to get that yard.
But, you know, I didn't think the Eagles won the game. They looked good. A.J. Brown, no targets. I mean, he was a non-factor, which was kind of interesting.
Right.
I know he's been dealing with the hamstring, but still, I thought he was in the game, so I was very surprised they didn't really throw his way.
I'm expecting a tweet or some sort of,
I know,
you know, because I don't think that dude's all there of, hey, look at me, and, you know, I'm going to be away from the team, other side of the bench, and I talk to people because I wasn't in the game, blah, blah, blah. I'm waiting on that. It's still early.
Do you think that Amy Adams Strunk said to somebody last night, see, I told you. I told you we did right.
I don't think you watched a second of that game last night. Too busy counting billions. It's like, I'll catch it later. I'll catch it on TiVo later on.
TiVo. that's good. But the NFL season is underway, and then we got another one tonight on everything's on YouTube these days. We got the NFL with Kansas City and San Diego. So
it's funny, when I turn on, I have YouTube TV. I love YouTube TV. When I turn on now, the first 6 channels are how to order the game tonight or how to watch it in 4K or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand that. Not a fan of it. Of the opening game, I just put it on regular TV.
It's free.
Yeah.
It is free. All you have to do is log on to YouTube. You don't have to have YouTube TV. You just go to YouTube, and you can watch
it. I get it, and they're paying tens of millions for it. I understand all that. But I'm not a fan of the game starting in Brazil. Just not.
Yeah.
A division game like that? We'll ask John his thoughts about that, too, coming up. But I just don't like a division game starting in Brazil. If that game is in SoFi or Arrowhead, be fantastic.
Sure. I agree. Okay. So this is an interesting discussion here because I have a different perspective of it. You know, we talked to Jeff Jarrett about it yesterday, about the European crowds with pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And WWE just did a tour in Europe, and the crowd was just electric.
Oh, yeah.
More than I've ever seen. And it's because they don't get it a lot. So they're obviously showing the appreciation for it. And I think it's the same thing with these international markets with the NFL. So I certainly respect it and get it and think there's a place for it. It's just, it's now to make it all work, you're taking away from your true fans here.
Yep.
Like you're taking
100%.
I don't know who the home team is tonight. I think Kansas City's the home.
No,
so you're taking a game from Arrowhead, and you know, yes, you have the extra game now, and you know, they're gonna add 18 games and all that stuff. But I just the thing is, there's no perfect way to do it. If they want to, unless they make a international division.
Well, I just read the players reading about this don't like it. It's the opening game.
They don't like Brazil. Yeah, they don't want to.
Just a long travel over there. Yeah. I don't think they're really loving going to Europe for the most part. I mean, I know it's a charter flight and you got your own row, and yeah, I get all that, but I just think the opening game, it would be so electric tonight, have that game in Arrowhead or Los Angeles to start off the season. And so, not a fan of it, but again, nobody asked me.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you're taking away, it's a Friday night, you're taking away from high schools. And I know how you feel about that.
Get me going on that too as well.
And I mean, there's some college games tonight too, but just kind of is what it is. So that one is tonight. The NFL is truly underway. The Titans will play on Sunday. And we have talked about that ad nauseum. I mean, there's really nothing else. I mean, you and I got to do it for 2 hours on Sunday, but there's really nothing else to break down. You just got to go in there and play your best, see what you got. I mean, I think there continue to be concerns on offense, defense, all those things, but it's the Cam Ward Show, and it officially begins on Sunday. Speaking of the pregame show, Big Joe and I will be at Twin Peaks in Madison. You can come out and watch NFL games this Sunday at Twin Peaks in Madison, and we'll be there hosting the pregame show from 1 to 3 prior to the Titans season opener against the Broncos. Pregame is brought to you by Parma Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brew Works. We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos on this Friday. Titans, Broncos coming up this weekend. But first, you kind of teased something to me during the break,
right,
that got me laughing on ticket prices for something.
Well, we talk about if I can't afford my family to go, the ticket price are so expensive. There's one game, and I'm reading this, it's a third party, but it's ticket prices. They go through all the tickets. You can get them as low as $24. Arizona at New Orleans.
That was going to be my guess.
$24 to go to that game.
In the Superdome. So if you have never been to New Orleans, you've never been to the Superdome, right, it'll cost you more to get down to New Orleans, get a hotel, than it would to actually go to the game.
After that, there's a game, $41, Houston at the Rams, $41 ticket.
That's pretty good for L.A.
Absolutely it is. And then the one more is Carolina at Jacksonville. The lowest ticket price is $68. The rest are in the hundreds right there.
But interesting.
I thought Carolina-Jacksonville would be the cheapest one, but Arizona at New Orleans. Do you know an Arizona Cardinal fan? Honestly.
No, I don't.
Me neither. Not a one.
I will say, I'm curious of how many Titans fans, you know, it being week one, booked a trip to Denver. I love Denver. It's one of my favorite cities to go visit. The stadium, I still call it Mile High, is awesome. And you would appreciate this. You walk in, and Minnesota had this too, but one of the interests is you walk in and they have every high school football helmet from the Denver
area.
That's
cool.
It may be the whole state of Colorado, but they have them there. But Mile High is a really cool stadium. Denver, there's a lot to do. So I'd be curious how many Titans fans are going to make the trip. Because I know, you know, we've talked to several that kind of go one trip a year. Vegas is obviously on the schedule this year. A lot of people are going to do that. But Denver's a fun one, so I'd be curious.
Well, there are four games Sunday in the afternoon window. There is Houston at Los Angeles, Detroit at Green Bay, which all eyeballs be on that one, San Francisco at Seattle, and Tennessee at Denver. That game kicks off at 3:05. The over-under on Sunday, Chase, is 42.5. And I mentioned that to you, and it took you less than a quarter of a second to say
under.
You are taking the under. Why?
Because I think it's the first game of the year. Both teams are going to be sloppy. I don't expect the Titans offense to be able to put up a ton of points against that defense. And I don't know what Bo Nix is yet. I know he had a good rookie year, but you know, is he going to take a sophomore slide? You know, who knows? But I think just being the first game of the year, and Vegas obviously feels like they know something setting it that low for an NFL game, I don't think you're going to see a ton of offense.
8.5, you like that? Denver getting 8.5?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, though, I would lay the points. I think Denver wins by 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think Denver wins. Like, if the final score was like 21-10 or 21-7, you know, somewhere in there, like, I wouldn't be shocked.
How many games have you lost when the team scores a garbage touchdown in the last minute to cover the spread?
We call those the silent walk in the kitchen games. That is what that is. Oh. Ricky knows what I'm talking about, that just nothing is said. You get up and you walk in the kitchen or another room and you just cuss to yourself.
Is there one that stands out to you?
Oh, probably. Honestly, the game Monday night, or not Monday night, the Clemson, I think it was Clemson LSU.
Right.
I had the under, and I usually never bet unders, but I just, with the weather, I think that's the one. The weather was bad. What am I thinking of? No, that was the opening game. That's what it was.
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
The weather was bad.
Yeah, the Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
They all ran together. The weather was bad, so I'm thinking, okay, not as high scoring, and the over hit by half a point.
I bet it's got to drive you crazy. Like, near the game when it's fourth down, the punter runs out of the back of the end zone.
Oh, God.
I just know
there's like with the spread. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, there's times where you're sweating it, and you're like, please, for the love of God, don't get a safety.
The over-under this week in the NFL, the highest one is Baltimore at Buffalo. That is 50.5, Sunday night game. I don't know.
I might take over on that.
It's not bad. They tend to score a lot of points in that game.
Yeah, and both teams are going to try and show off, both quarterbacks especially. So I might lean over on that.
The lowest over-under game is Pittsburgh at the Jets at 37.5.
Oh,
ooh. Right, Pittsburgh's favored by 2.5.
But that's probably right because, again, I don't know, especially the Jets, I don't know how much they're going to actually do.
I remember we had one time, I forget what we had years ago, the largest spread I've ever saw in an NFL game was Jacksonville was going to Denver and Peyton was there, and Denver was a favorite by like 19. I never seen an NFL spread that high.
That was a lot, yeah.
I think they covered too.
If you had to guess – in college or NFL, a coach that, and I'm not saying this because there's funny business going on, I'm just saying they're aware, a coach that is more aware about what the number is, who do you think it would be?
NFL?
Either one.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great question.
My answer is more college.
That they
I think there is one coach that is very well aware of the question. Spread and the total.
Dabo?
Nope.
I don't know.
Lane.
Oh, yes.
I think Lane, because it's just, there's so many times. Prime example, I had a parlay one time with Ole Miss. Yes. And I needed Ole Miss to cover, like, I think I took them at like 10.5 or something.
Right.
And there's 2 minutes left in the game, and they're up by 8. And I'm like, well, I'm going to lose this. They're not going to cover. And damned if he doesn't run the ball all the way down the field and score. And I just looked at Ricky, and I was like, he knows. Like, he 100%. And it's not for him. I think it's for the fans. But, like, he knows what they needed. And I think they hit the over, and they cover the spread by doing
they
that.
They are 8.5 favorite over Kentucky, over-under 50.5.
Ole Miss will... I think Ole Miss wins by at least 2 touchdowns.
Kentucky might score 50.
Kentucky's not good. Kentucky's a bad team.
They are, but they also know winning that game sets their season.
It does. It does. Is it at Kentucky?
It is at Kentucky.
Yeah.
2:30 start.
I don't know. I think Ole Miss. Again, Ole Miss is a team, and you said it more than anybody, what has Lane Kiffin won? Ole Miss is a team that it's time for them to flex.
It is.
They haven't had many times where they flex with him as the coach.
It is.
So I think we all believe they're the better team in this game. If they're the better team, they need to show it.
All right, let me ask you this then. A game we're going to, Middle Tennessee at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's favored by 28.5. The over-under is 45. What is Vegas telling you?
28.5, over-under. They're saying that Middle's not going to score a lot of points. That's what it's kind of saying to me. And they look, I'm curious. We talked to Coach Mason, you know, we talked to Chris Massaro. The bounce back. What's the response by this team? I think it's still a work in progress, and you know, you got derailed because you lost to a team you shouldn't have lost to, and they all know that. And so you're not feeling very good about yourself.
Right.
I mean, if we're sitting here being realistic, Wisconsin is a Big Ten program
mm-hmm.
that is just built differently.
It is. It is.
And so, yes, you want to go in there and you want to fight and you want to scratch and you want to claw. But on paper, by all practical purposes, they're a better team than you are.
They are.
And so, you know, it's a tough spot to be in after last week.
All right, thoughts on one more real quick. Arkansas State, Butch Jones, they take on Arkansas, I was told, for the first time ever.
Really?
Now, Arkansas is favored by 23. The over-under, 65. What's Vegas telling Ooh. You?
What was the spread?
Arkansas by 23.5, over-under 64.5. Is Vegas telling you that because this is a rivalry within the state that Arkansas is going to lay the smack on them?
Yeah, I think they're saying a lot of – yeah. Arkansas is probably going to put up a lot of points. But Arkansas State would probably add some too. I think they're factoring in maybe a couple garbage time touchdowns.
Those got to kill you too, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why, like, I typically bet overs. The weather has to be bad. There's got to be some different type conditions for me to look at an under and go, okay, I feel good about that.
Now, a game we could catch when we get back from Wisconsin Saturday night, Sam Houston, Conference USA team, at Hawaii. The game kicks off at 10 o'clock our time, over under 49.5. It's funny because they're like, Sam Houston, Hawaii. How many people in Vegas watching that game?
They'll be watching them in sports books.
Right.
I've wandered into a sports book so that would be 8 o'clock Vegas time. I've wandered into a sports book at 8 o'clock and they're watching these games that, you know, like I've seen sports books pretty busy for a Hawaii game. Because, you know, Hawaii's always the last one. Yeah, because it's like it's something to bet on, something to watch.
All right, one more game for Chase McCabe. What is Vegas telling us? Louisiana Monroe at Alabama. Alabama's favored by 34.5, over-under 49.5. What's Vegas telling us?
Expect pain. you're going to have a pissed-off Alabama team. Look, if I'm Kalen DeBoer, I'm saying to my guys, please, for the love of God, can you just kick their teeth in. Like, I hate letting it out on them, but, like, I need you to go out and just dominate.
Is it weird to see, and you know more about this than I do, when an over-under and the spread are close that way? Because it's only
– Yeah.
Four, it's 15 apart.
Yeah, that's because they see it as a very one-sided game, which is what it probably should be.
If you were laying some hard-earned Monopoly money on that, what would you do?
I'd go over because Alabama might do that on their own. So I'd go over and probably take Alabama. Well, I think there's a bounce back.
Remember we talked to, I forget who, it might have been Derek Stevens at Circa, about so many people now are playing after the first quarter?
They're playing the live bet. I do that too. I because especially early in the season and especially after a week one like we had where some really good teams lost, you're not sure what they are yet, so you need to watch a quarter and then kind of evaluate and see how the line shifts, because Vegas is constantly shifting both the total and the spread. So and you can watch the money line. You might get a better money line play as well. So there's a couple of different options there. But always fun, for sure.
Yep.
Coming up next, Faux Show. Coming up next, John McClain going to join us. We'll talk some NFL with him. I actually have to step away for a second for some suit duties, so Joe will handle the first segment. But John McClain joins next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chasing Big Joe show brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. And who better to talk the NFL, the star of the NFL season, than our good friend John McClain. John, good morning to you. We're going to start, you know exactly where we're going to start, in the city of brotherly love last night. Before the season really even got started, we had a suspension last night. It's funny, John. Some are saying that was not the right call But that was absolutely the right call last night to eject Jalen Carter.
I mean, I can't imagine anybody, any nitwit, would say he didn't deserve to get suspended. People are trying to say, well, Dak spat first. Well, he did, but it was toward the ground. Players constantly spit during games. And then Carter shouldn't even have been over in their huddle. And then he spat on him, and everybody saw it. He deserved to be kicked out. He deserves to be suspended, if not one game, at least multiple games, because that is the most insulting thing you can do to a player, and he knows it. And there's a reason that he dropped in the first round like he did. He's been a great player. It's amazing to me, Joe, that the Eagles, with so many new starters on defense, with players out, including Carter, that they beat the Cowboys when Dak Prescott played as well as he could play. CeeDee Lamb dropped four passes. They said it was officially three. And the Cowboys came as close as they did. But Nick Sirianni has got to be relieved that they won that game, considering they could have lost. And it's amazing the difference in the first half and the second half.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's John, it's not funny, but it is kind of funny that I remember Bill Romanowski for one thing. And to a lesser degree, I remember Haynesworth stepping on Andre Girard's head. I mean, there's non-football plays that happen that kind of define your career, and unfortunately, his own fault, but Jalen Carter now is going to be remembered, John, for doing that stupid act last night.
Yeah, I covered that game in which Romanowski, it was a primetime game, in which Joe Montana was being honored in Denver, and I can't remember the receiver that he spat on, but he did. But he was known as a dirty player anyway. And Jalen Carter, he was just a moron. And not only hurt himself, he hurt his team, let down the fans, the organization. But you can't do that. Stepping on a guy's head like Haynesworth did, you know, that's, even though he could have hurt him, it's still not as bad as spitting on somebody. And I'm sure the league will get involved, and he'll be suspended, I guess, for one game. Because how can you justify not suspending him for that act?
Absolutely. John McClain is with us on the show. And, John, to talk about the good things from last night, Jalen Hurts, just watching him run the offense and why Dallas did not have a spy on him in the first half just blows my mind. But Jalen Hurts looked so good last night, John.
He did, and he looked smart. Both the quarterbacks looked good. And if you think about it, Miles Sanders, former Eagle, had that great run, and then he coughed up a fumble. That and CeeDee Lamb, all those drop passes. It's amazing that the Cowboys stayed as close as they did, 4 points. And Hurts is such a smart player. Nobody ever puts him in the list of the top quarterbacks, but all he does is win. And he runs a lot and executes the tush push perfectly. So that was a great victory for the Eagles. First time they played the first game against the Cowboys since 1970 at Old Franklin Field. That preceded the Veterans Stadium there. And so I thought it was a great game. The TV ratings should be through the roof. I'm guessing a lot of people tuned out because of the long delay because of lightning, but I'll guarantee you that's going to be one of the best regular season openers they've had on the heels of the greatest opener college football's ever had.
Absolutely. John, the first text I got this, one of the first texts this morning was, ask John if the Cowboys would have won that game if they had Micah Parsons. So I ask you, would the Cowboys have won the game last night had they had Micah Parsons?
Oh, I don't think so. I think one player doesn't make a difference. If he'd have played, he wouldn't have been full speed. You know, he's got this back injury, his lumbar area, so he hasn't played since last season. He would have had a week of practice if he'd have signed a new contract with the Cowboys instead of being traded, so I don't think he would have been a difference. It would have helped if CeeDee Lamb had come to play. And, you know, players fumble like Miles Sanders, but CeeDee Lamb's one of the top receivers and one of the highest paid receivers who usually has good hands, and he just choked.
Big time. John McClain's with us, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company. John, we have another big game tonight, Kansas City and Los Angeles, the Chargers. I get it that it's in Brazil, but, man, I'd love to see this game in either Arrowhead or at SoFi. Tonight, you know, when you talk to guys and you talk around the league, do they like this travel to Brazil? Because I can't find one way or another where guys are indifferent or love it. I just think it's kind of annoying to start the game so far away from your home base.
Well, players don't like long travel. They want as short a travel as they can get. They understand what it's like in the States. The longest trip is Miami to Seattle. And really, you can fly to the East Coast to London as quick as you could fly to L.A. from the East Coast. But going down there is such a long trip. And one of the things they have, they do a lot of things for the players. And I know they do that in Europe, so they can get out and experience a little bit of the area they're in. But they have to do a lot of things as well, promoting the game. And no, I don't think for a minute they like doing it. And I don't like having division games right off the bat in another country. I don't have a problem if they had it in Kansas City or L.A., but I don't like having it in Brazil because they just don't deserve it. And they wouldn't know the difference if the Chiefs were playing the Rams or the Chargers were playing another team. I just don't think they should play a division game down there. It's like they're trying to sell tickets. They don't need to sell tickets. Those games sell out in a heartbeat.
Oh, I agree 100%. Is Kansas City still the team, John, in the AFC until somebody knocks them off?
I guess they are. Most people are picking Baltimore, Buffalo. Think about the Chiefs, all those close games they won last year. And that is should be a tremendous credit for them to pull out so many close games when everybody is gunning for them. And they still finished, what, 15-2? And then they got beat in the Super Bowl, another one. But all of a sudden, people, it's not the fashionable to pick the Chiefs again. And I'm not, because the Super Bowl losers don't go back to the Super Bowl. But I still think they're going to win the division. Some people are picking Denver because they have great defense and Bo Nix in his second season at quarterback, picking them to dethrone Kansas City. I just don't see it. And but they're going to be really good. Teams are still going to be gunning for them, like the Cowboys were gunning for the Super Bowl champions last night. And you're a Super Bowl champion for a reason, Joe, and it's because you can overcome adversity. You can come from behind. And that's why the Eagles are the defending champion and the Chiefs went to 3 in a row.
Absolutely. John McClain is with us today. Now, you speak about Denver. We talk about the Titans and the Denver Sunday in the Mile High Stadium. I'm going to start on the Denver side of this with Sean Payton. You know, when Drew Brees left him, some ex-players came out and said, Sean Payton is nothing without Drew Brees. How much is this sort of a, I don't want to use the word redemption for Sean Payton, but how much you think he's enjoying this now? Because he's got Bo Nix rolling well. He's got a good defense. It's a very good football team he has.
If you go back and look at the Hall of Fame and all the Hall of Fame coaches, how many didn't have great quarterbacks? Almost every one of them. Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks you will never mention in the same sentence as Super Bowl. And I think that Sean Payton has drafted Bo Nix when everybody else said he should go in the second round. He's a really good quarterback coach, but he didn't have a great quarterback after Brees retired. Now he's not – Nix is not great, but he showed he's got a chance to be. So I think, yes, that's a good way to put it, redemption. But he also has a great defense, best one in the league, most sacks. What a difficult start for Cam Ward and the Titans offensive line to go to the Mile High City and play the best defense in the NFL.
John, does it concern you or anything because Cam Ward did not play pretty much into the second quarter, into the preseason games? Basically, he hasn't played a full game since last November versus Syracuse. Is that a concern going into this opening game?
I don't think so. It's just not the way of the football world anymore. I think Brian Callahan and his staff know what's best. The fact is, he's a rookie. If he'd have played all 3 games, he's still going to screw up because he's a rookie playing against a great defense. And they saw him in joint practices. And as we've talked about before, coaches would much rather have joint practices to see their players than preseason games.
Oh, absolutely. We talk a lot of hypotheticals, you know, this in the sports talk world. And we're about this game Sunday between the Titans and the Broncos, just how monumental it is for the Titans in so many ways. New GM, number one pick, everything coming together. And if they could come out of there with a win on Sunday, John, and you covered this football team for a long time, I think it could be one of the biggest wins this franchise has ever had. And I'm going back to 1960 just because of everything that's put together right now for the Tennessee Titans.
I think it would be, and I would have to go back over every season, but for a quarterback in his situation and a team in their situation being the worst in the NFL, and I've said if they could double their victory total this year and get to six, everybody should be happy about the progress they're showing in Callahan's second season. But if they could pull an upset, and that would be shocking, and people would come back and start talking about a playoff team, which would be grossly unfair, but I certainly wouldn't pick it. I think if they could just play close and look good and show people this is a different Titans team, then that would show progress.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take our first break with John McClain. We'll come back with more John McClain right here on 102.5 The Game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain, brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to wow. And John, you and Joe kind of started talking a little bit about the Titans. Looking at things from the Broncos standpoint, I mean, Sean Payton, we know what you obviously remember what he was as a coordinator in Dallas and then the head coach of the Saints, winning a Super Bowl there. I think the turnaround, even with a young quarterback, has been pretty impressive to this point, but with playing in such a tough division, how much can they really move forward? Do you look at them as a, you know, being close to being a contender, or how far away do you think they truly are?
I think they're a wild card contender. I don't think they're a contender for the AFC West title because the Chiefs are so much better. I know some national people who I respect have picked the Broncos to win the division. I think just because they're tired of picking the Chiefs, and the Chiefs actually lost a Super Bowl. And I don't think, as I told Joe, I don't think Super Bowl is in destiny for the Chiefs again, because the Super Bowl loser doesn't go back. But the Broncos still have a young offense, and teams are going to play Bo Nix differently, just like we saw that last year with C.J. Stroud. Those defensive coordinators have had the entire offseason to watch every single play, so Nix is going to face a lot different than he faced last year. One of the good things, though, Payton's an excellent play caller. I'd be more worried about their defense. They do a great job on defense. Besides being smart schematically, they've got great strategy and game plan. And you know they've watched every tape of every throw they could get their hands on by Cam Ward. They'll try to shut down Pollard in the running game, put Ward in passing situations, try to keep him from running, because he's so great with his feet, and I would expect he'll run 5 to 7 or 8 times because he's going to be under pressure and he's going to bail. And I can't wait to see what kind of game plan they have. They got to be able to run the ball, and that starts with what they need from the offensive line, which is a terrific performance.
John McClain is with us. So we've kind of talked about the Raiders that I feel like with Pete Carroll, they're going to take steps forward. But Amari Cooper decides he doesn't want to go back to the Raiders and calls it a career. How big of a blow do you think that will be to them, or is it really one at all?
I don't think it's going to get them out of last place. They could be improved, win 6, 7, 8 games maybe, and they're still destined to be in last place because of the teams ahead of them, their playoff teams. And one's a Super Bowl contender. So they're not going to measure their success on being able to move up in the standings. I can't wait to watch that division this year because they have 3 Hall of Fame coaches for sure. Jim Harbaugh is going to have to do more in the NFL to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they do have 4 proven outstanding coaches, and that's going to be, to me, the division that is the most fun to watch.
John, I know it happened Monday night, but your thoughts on Bill Belichick, North Carolina. Now this report comes out how Carolina has banned the New England Patriots scouting staff for coming to North Carolina and hanging out and, you know, watching practice and all that's going on. It's not off to a good start, is it?
Absolutely not. They've done it to other teams as well. It just got the most attention for the Patriots at a time when Robert Kraft announced that he's going to have a statue outside the stadium for Belichick once he retires. Belichick is, well, you scouts can't come in here. Now, why this is bad is Belichick and Mike Lombardi, former general manager, who is his football general manager, bill them as the 33rd team. You want to play in the NFL, you come to Chapel Bill. And you come here, you've got a better chance to go in the NFL. And then you keep the scouts from scouting your players in person. Somebody, whether it's Jordan Hudson, the assistant general manager, and anybody, tell him, now, wait a minute. Before you do all this stuff, you know, you're already inviting criticism. You mess with the media constantly. You won't put names on jerseys in the off season. You won't put numbers on jerseys. You won't put a two deep out when every other program does that. So you've got a target on your back anyway. This makes it worse. Just pump the brakes. I don't see him staying there for a rebuild. I'll give him 2 years max, and I think that game, they were terrible against TCU, and there's a lot of people in the NFL and college football who were so excited to see him get his face rubbed in the dirt.
Yeah, we talked an article earlier this week, Chase and I, about an article where somebody asked a bunch of college coaches who were to face Belichick and said, yeah, our goal is to, quote, beat his ass because we want to show these pro coaches that you just can't drop down to college and be massively successful. And there's just a lot working against him when everybody is going against you and doesn't want you to win. But, John, he brought it upon himself.
Absolutely, he did. He could have been more accommodating. He could have been more humble, the way he talked, the way he greeted people, just like his pregame interview with Holly Rowe.
Yes.
He was back to his Patriots persona, not the one last year where he did all the regular media programs and he was so much better. And he just invites criticism. And if you got Tom Brady, you can do that. But without Brady, I think I read his teams now average 19 points a game and have lost a lot more than they've won.
John McClain is with us. So yesterday we did our NFL predictions. I picked the Cincinnati Bengals to finally break through and win the Super Bowl. I have Burrow as the MVP. I just feel like a bounce back year in epic proportions is coming. Now, some are going to say I'm crazy for, you know, not looking at Buffalo or Baltimore or some other teams. But what's kind of your thoughts on the Bengals?
I think the Bengals, they missed the playoffs one game last year, and they had to overcome another bad start. And hopefully, for their sake, they're going to start better this season. Everything hinges on their defense. They have a new coordinator. They got a lot of new players. They got back Trey Hendrickson in the nick of time. But Hendrickson had 17.5 sacks last year and didn't help them get in the playoffs. So if I had to pick one team that did not go to the playoffs in the AFC that will, it's the Bengals. If I had to pick one in the NFC, it'd be the 49ers, because 49ers have the easiest schedule in the NFL. Bengals play in a tough division. But I think if they do make you look like a genius, it's really not that big a deal, because with Joe Burrow, a lot of people are probably picking them.
But don't you think, though, you know, we saw Josh Allen finally win the MVP last year. I mean, it's to me, it's time for him to do, and I know he's done great things and was, you know, obviously in contention for the MVP last year. But I think it's time for them to take those steps forward. I know they may do a Super Bowl, but I just think there's another level for him, and it's time for him to get to it.
Now, I thought Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback in the NFL last year. He had the best season of his career, but he lost the MVP to Josh Allen. And a lot of people are picking Baltimore. I've done that the last 2 years, and then they let me down right at the last minute. So I'm going with Buffalo against Detroit, two frustrated fan bases. I don't know that the Bills Mafia could withstand another Super Bowl loss, so I'm going to pick the Bills.
John, I'm sorry for that because I picked the exact same two teams, and I'm always wrong. So, but I'd love to see that because somebody gets a Super Bowl that's never had one.
I think it's been – I was 4 years old, I think, the last time Detroit won a championship, and Buffalo won one so long ago. Cookie Gilchrist was their best player, a running back. I think that was 64 in the American Football League, and I would love to see it for the fan bases. You know, I think Jared Goff and Josh Allen are class acts as quarterbacks, and I wouldn't be sorry to see either one. I wouldn't be sorry – to see Baltimore. It'd be my luck to not pick them for a third year in a row.
Right.
And they win it.
John, your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers? I did a deep dive into a lot of the training camp reports, and not a lot of drama there. Aaron Rodgers is like being talked about as an, you know, lifting teammates up and being a nice guy and everything. They've been so quiet. I really like what's happening there, and of course, I could be completely wrong.
No news is good news when it comes to Rodgers. He's gone out of his way not to say anything stupid and generate controversy like he did in his two seasons before he got hurt with the Jets, but he was still on Pat McAfee. And I think that's good. You know, they've got what should be a good running game, not a great one. Their defense seems like it's always good. You know, they've changed receivers, but I think Rodgers will be better than he was last year coming off the Achilles. But, boy, I don't see them better than the Ravens or the Bengals. I think they're destined for third. And the only thing we know for sure about the AFC North is that Cleveland is destined for last place.
Right. Speaking of that, you know, Rodgers is 41, Stafford's 37. I want to ask you this. When you were covering the Oilers, you got to cover Archie Manning in the latter parts of his career, Ken Stabler in the latter parts of his career. What did those guys bring to the team? Because obviously they weren't where they used to be, but what was it like covering those guys when you knew, you know, they had this great legendary career before they got to Houston, and then they were just kind of, nah.
Well, Ken Stabler came for 2 years in a one-on-one quarterback trade for Dan Pastorini. He'd been the third overall pick in 71. Snake was a second-round pick in 68 by the Raiders. In his first year here, 1980, it was great. It was the time of urban cowboy. Houston, everybody wore cowboy hats and cowboy boots and big feathers, and it just infuriated the real cowboys on the east side, and all the faux cowboys would go to Gillies and ride the bull, and it was a fun time, and they were 11-5. And Stabler fit right in that time period, that era, perfectly, riding around his Bronco with his snakes on the side, wearing his cowboy hat and his snakeskin boots. And he and Bum Phillips went together like bacon and eggs. And Stabler had a good season, but then after Bum was fired, his heart wasn't in playing for Ed Biles, the defensive coordinator, who was promoted, and it backstabbed Bum Phillips. But Stabler paid because they gave him a new contract. And Kenny played, I think, till he was 38, and that was ancient.
Right.
And he wasn't any good. And one of the reasons was they didn't take care of themselves the way they do today. You know, those guys were partying. They didn't have great facilities with weight machines. I remember when I started covering the Oilers, they had like one bench press and some dumbbells against the wall, and that was it. And it was in the middle of the crummy old facility they had.
Wow.
And so I think today, if they had what they have today, and they know if they take care of themselves, then they had a chance to make a lot of money. Lunch was sending a rookie to McDonald's, and breakfast was to stop at McDonald's on your way to the facility, and dinner was probably shots of whiskey and beer. And so it was a whole lot different back then, because today players get taken care of so well by their teams. They can have three meals healthy whenever they want. Got every kind of machine, the rehab, the surgeons.
Right.
Everything's better. And they know if they take care of themselves, they have a chance to make more millions.
John, appreciate it. As always, the NFL Week 1 is here. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk next week.
Guys, thank you very much. Good luck to the Titans.
That's John McClain, presented by Maple Street Biscuit Company. Wake up to WOW. Coming up next, we keep the football talk going with our man Chris Sanders. He joins the program next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.